Hi, I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, a board-certified OBGYN and menopause specialist. My new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it really takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Every week, I sit down with medical experts, cultural icons, and powerhouse women to talk about what really matters: your health, your power, and your future. We're covering hormones, identity, finances, relationships, and so much more. New episodes drop every Tuesday. Listen to and follow Unpaused with me, Dr. Mary Claire Haver, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
College football is off and running, and no one has the sport locked down quite like the Cover 3 Podcast, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network. Join me, Chip Patterson, along with Tom Fornelli, Danny Cannell, and Bud Elliott 5 days a week as we get you set for each weekend with breakdowns and best bets. Then recap all the action on Saturday night and tell you what you need to know about the rankings and more. Follow and listen to the Cover 3 Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Atlanta, what's going on? It's Dukes and Bell on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. We start off every day and every hour by saying, hey, man. We are live inside the Ticketmaster Studios at Flowery Branch. Today, we hope to bring you some answers. And look, Coach has answered a lot of questions. He has not answered the questions that Mike are going to present and I are going to present to him. We will have some new things for him to discuss. We're going to do that here, hopefully within the hour. He's going to join us a little bit later on this hour. They are on the practice field. A nasty day outside in the ATL today, so they're inside today, Mike. But he's going to join us, and I know we've been talking about it and looking forward to that all week, our player segment as well, as we'll grab a player coming up here from Flowery Branch.
We asked the listeners today on Twitter. Carl has put him up. C-Dukes, I'm Mike Bell, ATL. I said, hey, give us questions. I wrote parentheses. Legitimate questions for Coach Ricky Morris.
Yeah.
We'll ask some of those legitimate questions you guys want answered, and the illegitimate questions we'll discuss in Guy Talk about 4:40.
All right, and I know there are a lot of people having a lot of fun with the questioning of what is going on with our franchise.
They just want to win. You know what I mean? We're everybody's frustrated. I can imagine down the hallway they're frustrated. But Carl, I mean, how does this coaching staff fix it? That's literally the $64,000 question, isn't it, this week? How do you fix it?
Yeah.
How do you not play down to a poor opponent? Or in this case, do we expect you to play up to a good opponent?
It's funny because Terry Fontenot literally just walked by moments ago, the general manager, on his way to practice. And, yes, he goes to practices. For those who wonder, does he just sit in his office? And he was very cordial and just, hey, fellas, what's going on? The point I'm making is, guys, they're not walking around with their heads down up here, okay? Two losses doesn't mean the season is over, even though I told you it feels that way because of these lackluster performances. But nobody up here is going to do that. But it doesn't mean that we're going to play well on Sunday, because even when we've talked about this, hey, everything looks good. Everybody's talking, you know, in the right way. It's a positive attitude. And then we come out and lay an egg. You know, we come out and wet the bed. So I don't know what to expect on Sunday. I cannot sit here and tell you that because Terry's in a good mood and people are saying, hey, we're going to get back on the right track, and maybe they do, then it doesn't mean that we don't do just the opposite of that. Either way, we'll try to get down to some of the bottom of this and some answers here while we're here today at Flowery Branch. Also, Wes Durham's going to join us, the voice of our Atlanta Falcons, as he does on a weekly basis. We'll talk to him about some college stuff as well, as we always mix in NFL and college. Mike, today on the pre-show, and if you missed it, we went a little bit early. I had some things to do, and we jumped in because we have to get up here to Flowery Branch.
Right.
But, you know, we spent a lot of time, as we normally do, especially coming off the loss on the Falcons and are looking forward to our trip up here. But you keep bringing up how good this Patriots defense is, specifically against the run. And this may be the best run defense we've seen all season. Forget about the Bills, guys. Like, we destroyed them. They were not the best run defense. This is going to be that defense that could really lock us down. And then what? Then what happens?
It gets us into the dreaded where's plan B, something we did ask Coach about last week. We'll try to ask him again about it this week. Guys, we can only ask the questions. You know, if he doesn't answer, I mean, we can press, but that's about as good as it gets. But, yeah, how do you not have a plan B? Now, part of it isn't something that Dave Archer brought up yesterday is, you know, I want more Pitts. You know, Pitts had like 9 targets. I could use like the Jamar Chase approach with Joe Flacco. Give him 20.
Right.
But the problem is when you're 3 and out, 3 and out, 3 and out, and you only start getting some traction with the run game in the second half, and then Bijan fumbles, that's it. So, like, I'm as mad about Zach Robinson. I still don't like Zach Robinson's play calling. But when you don't have the volume and you don't have the chances to do all those things you want to do, Carl, maybe and some of the new wrinkles in your playbook, because you can't even get to square one, you're screwed. The other aspect of this is, if we can't score up in New England, they're going to run it right down our throat the way Miami did. Because then Miami pivoted to their game plan, right? High percentage crossing routes, yep. High percentage throws, exploiting J.D. Bertrand. We've got to ask Coach about that. How do we improve that part of our defense? But New England would just run it down our throat with two decent running backs.
I want you to hear Raheem talk about getting back to running the ball, because, look, this is going to be pretty simple. First quarter, if we're not effective in running the football, this game's going to take a different turn. And the reason why I say that is because, to Mike's point, we haven't been able to effectively go to the other plan and exploit the defense enough that they come out of doing what they do. Like, we can go and throw the football around, which I think Michael Penix obviously is capable of, but we haven't had that kind of success. Guys, he's only had one 300-yard game. One. So he missed last week. He's coming off of this behind-the-knee injury thing that we're still kind of like, what the hell is it? And I don't know if he's going to be capable up there in New England to throw it around the yard like that. But this is where you've got to be ready. Hey, if we're not able to run the ball, what are we doing on Sunday? How do we attack this Patriots defense? And more importantly, put them on their heels. Here's what Ross said about running the football.
Yeah, you meet on everything every single week, and obviously the last 2 weeks are, you know, different situations, different set of situations, I should say. We got to get our run game going, and if we can get those things going, that usually is our lifeline of everything that we do, whether it be running the ball, passing the ball, whatever the case may be, that's not our lifeline. And we get that going, we're really good offense. And we don't get that going, we look like we did yesterday, where you don't have a chance to maintain possession, you don't have the chance to keep it. That's part of our game, that's part of what we do, how we want to manage our games. That helps our defense get better, everything get better. So really, we got to get our lifeline going. Really, that's the honest truth. We got to play better up front, and we got to give those guys more opportunities. And then when we do get the opportunities, we got to hold on to the football.
Everything we just talked about. I mean, you can't get into the, Carl, let's be honest, the garden. You get your garden variety plays, but the stuff that maybe is an exotic, unscouted look, if you can't hold the football for more than a three and out. Zach Robinson was asked today, and I just missed the press conference. I wanted to get in there. I'm sorry. Some of you guys got to learn how to drive in the rain, Carl. You can go more than 55. I digress. But anyway, Zach Robinson was
talking. Got to be careful, Mike. Got to be careful.
And don't put, if you put your hazard lights on, just stay in the house. If you put your hazard lights on, just stay in the house. You with me on that?
I want to make sure you guys can see
just
me.
Go park under the overpass and wait till it stops. In this case, wait 6 hours.
What if you don't see me braking? Just,
you know,
in case.
And by the way, Carl, the AAA says hazard lights are dangerous.
They do.
You can't actually check the difference between a brake light.
That's true.
And the hazard.
So you're right.
You folks are screwing it up. Anyway, I digress. Had I been in the room, I'd have asked some more questions. He was asked about the run game. Zach Robinson said, in the run game, we want to identify everybody who's down in the box. It's our job to make sure everybody is on the same page with what the right calls are, that we have the right look. So is that Ryan Neusel? Is that the quarterback? What are we talking about there?
A little bit of both. Ryan Neusel's our center. He's the guy that's going to point out linebacker, middle backer, weak side. He's pointing to guys that potentially may be coming and what their responsibilities are with different calls. But it's also on the quarterback to see that.
And Kirk Cousins wasn't really up for anything.
No, it's also on the quarterback. Absolutely, Mike. Here's my concern, guys. It's Dukes and Bell Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game. We're live at Flowery Branch today. And, look, we are excited to talk to Coach, because hopefully he can dive in with us a little bit more than he does at these pressers. Coach takes questions, he answers the questions, and it's the next question, right? It's the next reporter. He's obviously more comfortable with us. You guys have listened all season. You know the deal. You've listened the last 2 years. And hopefully he'll open up a little bit. And we're hoping that's the case. But the thing that worries me is, I don't know if we're built to come from behind. When the run game goes away, I want you to think about this, okay? Dolphins game was a prime example. And I don't care if it was Kirk Cousins. I said this in our post last week after the game. The quarterback hasn't mattered. It doesn't matter who the quarterback is. But we're down in that game. You need to throw it around the yard. We can't. 49ers game, right? It's a game until it wasn't, but when you needed to make those pass plays, you couldn't. We've been behind in those two games. The games we've been in control of, Washington, the Bills,
right,
those games look different because we weren't coming from behind. We weren't showing up against the Panthers or the Carolina Panthers, so that game doesn't even count. Vikings, we're in control, right? Bucks game, first game of the season. It's hard to look at that game now,
right,
but it went back and forth. What I'm learning right now, though, is, Mike, we're down 10 points, 2 touchdowns. We might be in trouble.
Well, that's just it, especially then you take in the time of possession, where I think if the Patriots get up by more than 7, if it's a 10-point lead, they run it all day. They eat and clock, and everything we just talked about in Dolphins happens all over again. You know, the run game. The run game is our life's blood. It keeps the other guys off the field. Everything should flow from it. The play action, like, I'll – I'll die on the hill of hating the pistol. Arch breaks my balls about it every week. It's our offense. It ain't going to change. But here's one interesting thing that Zach Robinson said to the media, speaking of which. He goes, we've actually seen simpler looks than they've expected, Carl, from defense. That makes it more frustrating that we can own these looks. We can't anticipate what's coming. We got to get a clean defense. So in other words, they're not executing.
No, they're not.
So, I mean, so then you didn't draft the right guys and you're not coaching them up. Either you didn't draft the right players and we don't have a good enough team if that's the case. Last year we were – the same crew got to 6-3.
Yeah.
Same crew got to 6-3. So I don't know what to make of it. So the pivot, the plan B, the plan C in some cases, you know, and we'll see. Again, Morris said that Cousins got the big portion of the reps last week. He's expecting Michael Penix Jr.
to do it,
to be the guy getting the majority. So, again, it's got to be him. He also said Storm Norton will be in competition for starting at right tackle. He still says provided he's healthy, so still not 100%.
Yeah, it's been a couple of weeks. They're working him back. At this point, give me the best option, right? If it's Elijah, great. If it's not, Storm Norton needs to step in there. Guys, when you talk about these possessions, you're talking about last week, for example, Dolphins ran 65 plays. We ran 49. You don't win games that way. So when Mike's talks about these possessions and time of possession, 37 minutes they had the ball.
And variety of play calling, because you all want what we want, and then you don't have it. Because now, okay, if you get stymied, they're stopping the run. Now you're behind the sticks. Now it's 2nd and 9, 2nd and 10. Okay, you don't get that incompletion. Now it's 3rd and long. Game over.
Yes, because they can pin their ears back.
Correct.
And we haven't shown the ability to scare you enough with catching the ball in the routes that we're running. We had it for 22 minutes. Those are the things that we're talking about. And when you say, all right, amount of plays, time of possession, you're not running the football, that's an L. You can just chalk it up. Those are symptoms, right? I just went to the doctor again today, Mike. Those are symptoms. You go, oh, this is not moving in the right direction. If I told you time of possession is not ours on Sunday night, if I told you that they run almost double the amount of plays that we run, those things add up. And so if you're running the ball, to Mike's point, short third downs, you're moving the chains, you're scoring red zone touchdowns, not field goals. That changes the complexity of this, and that's what this OC has to fix.
And they were really kind of scared of Tua throwing the football in their own game plan.
Duh.
It was really high percentage stuff that was dependent on yards after the catch, which they gave because our linebackers weren't up to the task. To Carl's point, 11 rushing first downs to 3.
Embarrassing.
And we're the running team, and they're the worst run defense. By the way, penalties. We didn't really talk about penalties on Monday.
What was it, 8?
88 penalties for 76 yards, twice as many penalties as the Dolphins. 2 of 11 on third down. You know, it's just absolute train wreck. As far as all the things you're trying to get into a rhythm, you got no shot. And then when you did have plays to be made, Kirk Cousins couldn't make them. So any trade value for Kirk Cousins is negligible. The only hope you have is that somebody loses a quarterback this week because the trade deadline is next week.
He ain't going nowhere.
And he's not going anywhere. And not that you'd get anything for him anyway.
That's the issue, Mike. I mean, like, if you want to give him away, they could have did that already. The hope was, again, we'll play Cousins last week. Let's see. The best situation for us last week would have been, first of all, us winning.
Right.
Secondly, Cousins throws for 400 yards last week. Because then everybody would have went, oh, he is 100% healthy. Look at what he did for Atlanta. Teams that were not interested may have become interested. None of that happened. He looked like he didn't know what the hell he was doing.
No, everybody's around the country saying what you said. He looks washed. Now, we can only go by what the coaching staff told us. They said he got reps. He got the majority of reps. They gave, you know, kind of lip service to Penix. We did see the video of Penix throwing the ball, but they knew pretty early in the week Kirk Cousins was going to be the starting quarterback, and he did not respond. So there's no market. The only market would be, as you said, just to get him off, and you get a 6-round pick for him, and no one's going to – and by the way, you're still eating the contract because no one's going to take anything but Penix on the dollar on that deal.
We are live at Flowery today, guys. Lots to get to between now and 6 o'clock. Player segment as well today. Stick around and find out who that is going to be. This hour is brought to you by Wise Guys Pro Wash. Let Wise Guys lights brighten your holidays this year. It's Dukes and Bell.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver. Ready for honest conversations about thriving in midlife? Listen to and follow my new podcast, Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
College football is off and running, and no one has the sport locked down quite like the Cover 3 Podcast, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network. Join me, Chip Patterson, along with Tom Fornelli, Danny Cannell, and Bud Elliott 5 days a week as we get you set for each weekend with breakdowns and best bets. Then recap all the action on Saturday night and tell you what you need to know about the rankings and more. Follow and listen to the Cover 3 Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Want your Thanksgiving week started off right? How about some golf? Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Yes.
Third annual Brown Grass Charity Golf Classic presented by Finley Roofing. It's coming up Monday, November 24th at Eagle Watch in Woodstock. Get signed up, man. All you need to do is go to 92.9thegame.com, click on the events link, and do it now because those foursomes are getting filled up pretty quickly. It's the third annual Brown Grass Charity Golf Classic benefiting Pets for Vets. We are up at Flowery Branch today. Ra's going to join us, Coach Ra, here in the next 25 minutes or so. Again, depending on how practice goes. Now, Mike, if he's late, maybe there was some yelling going on or something like that.
I don't want to see somebody's ass in a briefcase. I don't know, man. Like I said, it's just the question we're having now is, you know, this same squad, the same nucleus of guys, you know, save for maybe Drew Dahlman as opposed to Ryan Neusel, and certainly a full season of Caleb McGarry over Elijah Wilkinson. But Storm Norton did get some work last year.
Yeah.
Went to 6-3. So 9 games in, this team was 6-3. 7 games in, we're 3-4. Now we're breaking in a rookie quarterback. We've had some clunkers. You know, last year we had some epic wins. We had those 2 wins against Tampa Bay. Both by this time last year, we had beaten Tampa Bay at home in one of the greatest games at Mercedes-Benz, and then the game Halloween weekend down on the road in Tampa. You know, our best wins, Carl, you already alluded to, against the Commanders, albeit without Jaden Daniels, and against Buffalo. So what are we? And that's what a lot of guys, when I ask folks today, give me some questions for Coach, aside from what we've got on our sheet, and we'll have our sheet together coming up here in a bit, guys are asking, what about the inconsistency, what you brought up? Why do we tend to play down, Carl, to the perceived lesser opponents?
Yeah, look, there's no reason for that. We've won, Jack. We're not a 2- or 3-time champion. We haven't had an MVP on this team. We haven't had a Defensive Player of the Year on this team. Like, we haven't done enough to feel like we can even play down to our competition. But I do think sometimes it's human nature to look at certain things with teams and you go, man, this team's not that good. And I do think they thought that about the Dolphins last week. Hell, I thought that about the Dolphins last week. Tua came in here and I said, he is terrible.
They literally wanted to hide Tua in their game plan.
He was awful coming into this game. And so, you know, you went from that to a guy throwing 4 touchdowns on you. That's what it is. So we have no room to feel like and I'm not saying the fan base does, but I do think there's been this sense that when we get these big-time matchups, Monday night, Thursday night, Sunday night, we show up. We rise to the occasion. It was Sunday, you got the Dolphins. They're 1-6. We'll see what we do.
It was a 3-point game in San Fran national TV, and the wheels came off.
Yeah, because you were ready. I mean, like, you felt like we were going to do something significant. 404-726-0929. Report out there. Here we go. Kirk Cousins desires an opportunity to start elsewhere. Well, we already know this.
Yeah, I mean, okay, good luck. But again,
we already know this.
As we said, Kirk, and nice to us, nice, you know, again, I'll never understand what the hell that was last year, but you didn't really sell your brand on Sunday afternoon.
No, he did not.
You know, if this was a car dealership, real quick story, years ago, and I won't name the manufacturer because they have gotten their ish together since then, but I tested
Fiat? Fiat?
Actually, it was a Dodge Challenger.
Oh, okay.
Back when they were like really short cars, remember the late 80s, early 90s, they were all kind of like, even the Mustangs didn't look great.
No, they were, yeah.
So I go to test drive a car. I was working in Roanoke, Virginia, and I go to shift the car into drive, and the handle comes off in my hand. Like the plastic, like, breaks off. And I look at the salesman. He goes, I guess this test drive is over. I go, huh? You know, the analogy I'm giving you is that was Kirk Cousins on Sunday to any potential suitor.
Yeah, you know, that was the whole thing back then, Mike, by American.
Right.
Because it was perceived that the foreign cars were cheap.
Right.
They were, and how they were built.
But Detroit had some real tough, hard times for about 15 years till they got it together.
No doubt. All right, man. By the way, this hour is brought to you by Wise Guys Pro Wash. Let Wise Guys brighten your holidays this year. Coming up, Roz on the way. Day-Day, real quick, jump in here because you were just talking about Ronald Acuna. There is no news about the Braves. I'm only mentioning this because he's been recognized as such. So has Drake Baldwin. We knew Drake had a great year, but this is the start of, I think, you know, many awards for Drake. He is going to be a really good player for the Braves. But what were you saying to us before we came out of break?
Yes, the Major League Baseball Players Association Player Choice Awards, Ronald Acuña Jr. getting the Comeback Player of the Year.
Acuña for life!
And Drake Baldwin getting the Outstanding Rookie.
Okay. That's good, man.
Okay.
Double A, do some work. I mean, like, we got to still do some work. This is good. These guys are on the
right.
team.
Now, we discussed this the other day on our pre-show because sometimes you don't get, again, I know you say 4 hours, can't you squeeze in some race? Sometimes. But in this case, a lot of Falcons because folks are hot. People are hot. But we were talking about it. You know, technically the Braves will be number three in payroll. Right now, if you look it up, and you can, Braves are number three in payroll behind the Dodgers and the Mets.
Yeah.
So my Spidey sense says, not so much Alex, because he'll never throw the management on the bus, but the guy above him, McGurk, will say, hey, man, we're top three in payroll. I don't know what you fans expect us to do. I mean, you think we could go buy a parking lot across – oh, never mind. But, I mean, you'd like to see some of that money put back into the team to get us the two starting pitchers you're going to need. Well, everybody else is a giant question mark.
They are.
So that's where I just want to – and not to mention you talked about it, some of the other key positions, like how the shortstop thing will be addressed as well.
Yeah, man. But congratulations to those guys. And look, anytime you're recognized, it's fun. That's cool. We got some really good players. We know that. We need more. That's where we're at. The Braves news, I think, guys, will start to break here once we get past the World Series. This is when we'll start to hear some of the things we've been waiting on. By the way, I said this to you guys two weeks ago. They're in no rush to hire their manager because they don't have to. They want to talk to everybody, and this is the sense that I got, that they want to interview a variety of candidates, and I think they're going through that process, and they're talking to all the people, and when it's time, they'll let us know. I'm more concerned, Mike, in getting a beat on some of these other positions,
right,
and getting involved in those negotiations with some players that are going to have choices, that will have options, because you're not just going to go out and get the best pitcher who wants to come to Atlanta because we're Atlanta. He's going to have options. So we got to get in on those conversations, and I'm sure they're working towards that. Can I share something with you real quick? I don't know if because I got this, you know, from a couple of different people. And I don't know if you guys want or expect me, or Mike for that matter, to just be mad all damn week. And I want to put this in perspective. We go to these games, we watch the games, sometimes we leave these games early because we're so frustrated, just right. keeping it 100 with you. And then after the game, there is a real visceral reaction. But I can't be mad at my wife, my dogs, my kid all damn week, okay? I got to at some point just take a step back and go, okay, I hope this stuff gets fixed. And that's where I am with the Falcons. So for people who are fussing at me like you wanted everybody fired, if this doesn't get fixed, that's what's going to happen. But the idea that you just want me raging right. mad every damn day, it's not going to happen. My blood pressure is already high, okay? So I got to take a step back. I got to let Ra explain to us what he wants to and right. how he's going to fix this, Mike. And then we got to see what they do on Sunday. But this is going to escalate, and it will get to a point where two things happen, Falcon fans. One, we fix ourselves and we get really good and we go to the playoffs and everybody's happy. Two, it doesn't. Jobs are lost and it feels like we're completely starting over. But I am not going to be in this state of pissed offness
right.
every day just because you think – hey, you said he wanted everybody fired, because that's where I'm at. I'm so frustrated, but I'm not going to let that dictate the show or how Mike and I do business, and I just want to put that out there because I've gotten at a bunch from people who say, you want this, you want that. We still do. Everything we've talked about, it hasn't changed our opinions, Mike.
Right.
It hasn't.
Well, I mean, again, he has to go to talk to Arthur Blank each week. You know, and he's not – that's a private conversation. I'd love to be a fly on the wall for that conversation. I could ask Coach. He's not going to answer it. Like, what did Arthur say to you? What did Arthur – you know, I mean, he did give some clue. He had to explain some of the things that happened to him. They talked about that in the press conference. But I'm with Carl. You see our media reaction after the game. I was hot. If I owned the team, I would have fired the coach. I'd fire everybody. You know, but I mean,
that's how we operate.
That's how we, you know,
how we operate.
I just feel that, you know, it just feels like we're backsliding into when things went off the rails last season. And then there's the big picture. You know, we spent a large chunk of Monday saying, as Falcon fans, where do you draw the line? Where do you say, I'm done? You know, I live for football. I love going to games. By the way, who wants to go to Tallahassee this weekend? Day-Day, you want to go to Florida State? Wake?
What's their record?
What do you care? You want to go to Wake? Come on, it's a great game. I got great seats, Day-Day. You want to go?
Where are they at in the
ACC? You know what Day-Day? See, now he's a silent partner.
Wait a minute.
Earlier, Day-Day goes, it's a really good game. I go, you want to go?
You got to answer these questions. Where are they at in the standings?
Friggin' dead last. There's next to last in the ACC.
Who wants to go to that game?
Who cares? It's football. I still love it. I love it, damn it.
I love it, too.
But no, but I love the NFL experience. And we know that Arthur built a great stadium. I hate the fact that a quarter of it is inhabited by opposing fans. So be it. But, I mean, this is where we've been living this week. This sense of dread that this season is about to come off the rails.
Yeah.
So we're hoping to get something from the coach that will instill some confidence and not be the same old. And we'll hopefully get that when he talks to us.
He's coming up. Stay there. We're live at Flowery Branch inside the Ticketmaster Studios. You're listening to Atlanta's number one sports station, its number one sports show, Dukes and Bell.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, and my new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Listen to and follow Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
College football is off and running, and no one has the sport locked down quite like the Cover 3 Podcast, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network. Join me, Chip Patterson, along with Tom Fornelli, Danny Cannell, and Bud Elliott 5 days a week as we get you set for each weekend with breakdowns and best bets. Then recap all the action on Saturday night and tell you what you need to know about the rankings and more. Follow and listen to the Cover 3 Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Sports Talk on the Game is presented by Paramount Plus. You can count on not a whole lot, but you can count on Paramount Plus and Sundays with the NFL on CBS. Watch your local NFL games live every Sunday all season long. Visit ParamountPlus.com/NFL to get started today. We are at Flowery Branch today, guys. Dukes and Bell hanging out. We're waiting on Rob. Practice was going on, and as soon as they get off the field, he'll walk in here, and we'll get a chance to talk to him about all the things that we need to get right and things that this team, Mike, needs to do better, because it feels like there's a lot. And somebody said to me, it feels like you guys are complaining about everything. Is everything bad? And the answer is no.
No. We've shown the ability to look like a playoff caliber football team. We run the football really well. We got a young athletic defense mixed with some veterans that is basically still one of the best pass defenses despite what Tua did last week. Problem is right now, we lost Divine Diablo. Huge hit to our defense. You know, we went, I saw a video.
Divine Diablo.
Saw a video today somebody had sent me where A.J. Terrell goes for the big hit and just blows off, gets hit by a blocker, misses a tackle. I mean, so a technique, too. I think sometimes our tackling technique, not setting the edge. So it's the little things. That's basically it. But all those little things, I sound like Al Pacino. All those little things add up to those inches we're trying to get. So that's where we're at. Offensively, when we can't run the football, we're dead in the water.
Yeah.
That's it. When we can't run the football, we can't do anything. And that's the problem. In my mind.
It is. I totally agree with you. 404-726-0929.
And special teams continues to be bad.
It does.
As a whole. On the pecking order, we just kind of take that for granted, you know, if we're honest.
Well, yeah, because it seems like this other stuff, especially with the offense, is so overwhelming. Hey, we didn't mention this as we wait on Coach. Trey Young was on Jimmy Fallon. And I don't know if you guys watch
it. I was watching the World Series. I missed it.
So, yeah, but he talked more than anything about wanting to win a championship. And it's out there, but he was like, look, the individual numbers are good, but the main goal is winning a chip. And I thought it was cool to Trey. You know, again, those appearances, look, with social media now, I don't know if those appearances have the effect they once did, Mike. You went on a late night show, it was a big deal. Your player went on. But these guys can be on every day if they want to. And he's got his own podcast and whatnot. I don't think he does it during the season. You know, he responded to Patrick Beverly when that all went down.
Shut that down pretty quick.
Yeah, that's over. But Trey was on last night.
Just state your source.
He still has it. But he talked about winning the championship. And I just said, look, I love that our star is just talking about this.
Right.
But I also know there's a lot of doubt out there about if it'll ever happen with Trey as a Hawk. And that's really, you know, look, I expect him to say these kinds of things. And I love that he's trying to put some respect on our city, man. He's trying to say, hey, I want to be here. I want to win as a Hawk. He's been saying that. I know we've had our ups and downs, Mike. It's no secret. The Hawks at times have investigated what they might try to get for Trey. But none of that stuff has transpired. They haven't traded him. He's still here. Mike said, will he get his money? We think he will. But also the team has to play really well, and we got to be a deep playoff team this year. This can't be another play-in
year. No way, man. If we are a 7 seed, if we're not 6 or better, then something went terribly wrong. We know we got to manage Porzingis' minutes. Right now we got a rebounding problem. Some of that is effort. Some of that is schematics. But, you know, you talked about sort of like this multi-person front court we're kind of trying to work. Quinn Snyder, it's go time. Like, we're putting Quinn on, we'll put Quinn on blast.
Put him on.
That's why Trey was in New York. He's up there playing in Brooklyn. But you're 1-3 versus an 0-4 team, which is literally planning on being the number one pick. I know they don't tank, but they kind of do. Yeah. And that's kind of where Brooklyn is at. But you've got to figure this thing out, because we don't have – I said to Carl, so I can wait till Christmas till this thing comes together, or the trade deadline, or, you know, the All-Star break? You know, I know we will have our Steve Kuden in-season tournament, which
yes,
you get a trophy.
Starting soon.
You know, all right. So
we almost won it last year.
You're darn right we did.
Yeah.
But anyway, let's get amped up and ramped up and figure this out, because you can't be giving up an average of 125 a game, man. That's our Nate soundbite. We didn't play defense.
And we still haven't. We're not playing consistent defense. Tonight it is Brooklyn, and then they're still on the road. I think Pacers on Friday, as we'll go a little bit later on Friday, as a matter of fact. Mike and I will go till 6:30.
Oh, come on. I got to get home for trick-or-treaters.
You?
I'm kidding. I know, it's a joke. But no, and you brought up a good point. Even though on the record doesn't reflect it, Indiana's lost some close games against really good teams.
Yes, they have. They have. Look, I think Indiana's still going to be
good. Despite Halliburton being out.
Yeah, they're still going to be good because they're deep. That's why they made the run they made last year. They got a lot of guys that have versatility that they can throw out there. But I thought that was cool. If you guys saw it, you can comment. Let us know what you think. But I have no problems, man. I know people want to take shots, but I just think that's what you want to get from your star.
Guys hitting us up on the text line, continuing the conversation we talked about before the commercial break about, you know, like, yeah, we're all angry. We're all upset. We're all ticked off. We're all feeling like that sense that I said it in that kind of like open letter thing I did on social media. Your sense of futility, which creeps in as a fan. I hope, you know, we can address that. Guys, winning is no blank, Sherlock. Winning cures all. If you go five, you can win these next two games, you go to 5-3. Okay, we've stabilized the ship. Now let's go win some NFC games and let's go figure it out what we're going to be, and hope that maybe the Bucks wobble here and there. I have a feeling right now. I don't think we have a great shot at winning the division. You know, we got now a guy hit me up earlier on the text line. He goes, I keep seeing all these different numbers for the playoffs. Yes, it's anywhere from 11 to 17%, depending if it's ESPN analytics. I think they've got us at like, yeah. Guys, we're the 11th seed in the East in the NFC. That's all you need to know. We're the 11th seed. We got 11 teams, 10 teams better than us right now by record.
Yeah, the winning of the division thing doesn't feel like it's doable, but I will tell you, Tampa didn't feel like it was doable last year either. They're still division games in front of us. We are going to have to run the table, though. That means beating the Saints, right, Mike?
Right.
Which feels like that might be the easiest task with what the way things are going right now. They're going to start Tyler Shook. You got to find a way to get back at Carolina. Doesn't have to be a blowout. I know we want revenge, but just beat them. And then you got to find a way to beat Tampa at Tampa, right? You got to revenge. You get that revenge win. And if you do that, then you just let the chips fall where they may. But the problem becomes, I say this all the time, every year when you guys go, oh, first few games don't matter. When you need help at the end of the season,
please,
and you've lost to those NFC teams, it comes back to bite you.
This ain't the NHL, MLB, or the NBA.
No.
You got 17 of these. That's why no one can ever understand when we lay an egg like we did against Carolina, or what we just had happen against Miami. See, that's the thing. I know a coach, and we're not going to ask Coach this, because coaches and people know, and most you guys in your car in the office know.
What are you going to ask?
It's a fool's errand to sit there and go, hey, we're in the easy part of the schedule. Well, the easy part of the schedule started with a 34-10 loss, because we got what we thought back in August was going to be gravy. Oh, the Dolphins, New England, the Colts, Carolina, the Saints suck. The Jets. Yeah.
J-E-T-S. Yeah,
oh.
Jets.
Well, again, we got to go on the road outdoors in New England and on the road outdoors against the Jets, where we average 5 points.
Yeah.
So that we better get this thing straight. Because if you lose this game, the fans that aren't already like basically ready to jump out a window are going to be, that's it, I'm done. You know, and Arthur Blank hears all this. He knows. He's in marketing. He might not know how to win in the NFL, but he wants to, and he's trying. But he knows when the customers aren't happy.
I think the Jets had their come-to-Jesus moment already when Woody called out the quarterback and then Justin went out and balled last week. I don't know if we've had ours. I don't know if we've had ours. We haven't had that. We're all mad and frustrated. I don't know if we've had Arthur Blank come out and say, unacceptable, not going to tolerate it. I don't know if anybody in the building, I asked you this yesterday about the players, have blown up.
Right.
None of these guys have blown up. None of these guys have said, put the mics on me.
Right.
Let me tell you what's going on in here. Like, we haven't had
that. There's no meltdown.
We haven't had that yet. Jets felt that way last week when you had the owner just blatantly come out and go, well, if the quarterback could complete a pass –
Literally called out
a
guy.
And then they went out and balled out. So, right. I mean, say what you want. And again, they probably should have lost that game if you watched it yet last week. Bengals had them beat. But give them credit, man. Like, I don't know if that's happened to us. It's been up and down, Mike. The problem is, guys, good teams don't go on 3- and 4-game losing streaks in the NFL.
Correct.
That doesn't happen.
And that's why Dan Quinn got fired, because he had a bunch of them. We had 5- and even 6-game losing streaks at one point. I mean, just for argument's sake, you think it would have an effect down the hall in this locker room if Arthur Blank came out and said, I need some wins and there's going to be some serious changes here, in that same voice? I'm Arthur Blank, and I approve this message.
It would feel different. I mean, that's what I'm saying. Look, Arthur has this meeting with that we talked about. They do this. By the way, he's been doing this for years. This isn't anything new. For every coach that's been here, going back to Smitty, they do this. Some owners do it differently, but the point is, he has always been involved that way, wanting to know what's going on with the coaching staff, what happened the right following Sunday or the last Sunday or whatever. But you're right, Mike. I mean, did Arthur come into the locker room? You know, today, the first day of practice, they were off yesterday and go, all right, let me tell y'all something. Like, we haven't had that moment. Maybe we don't need it, but maybe we do. 404-726-0929. That is the number for you to hit us up, guys. Follow us, Mike Bell, ATL. I'm at Put 'em Up, see Dukes, and the radio show, Dukes and Bell 929. Follow the radio station 929, The Game.
These are contract years for Arnold Ebiketie. I know that we talked about, you know, Troy Andersen and where that is. I mean, guys asked me again because we brought up Divine Diablo earlier in the show, and the
Divine
guy says
Diablo.
Yeah, we miss him. Bad arm. Hope we get back. Yeah. Guy played one series.
We got to come down a notch, man, because this dude was missed.
Divine Diablo.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, guy asked me about Troy. Guys, I don't know. Do I deal in absolutes? We kind of do with sports talk. But you think we're ever going to see Troy Andersen in a Falcon uniform again?
Doesn't feel that way.
Doesn't feel that way.
Doesn't.
Nobody in this building can give you a straight answer on what his future is. So, I mean, that's just a buster. You know, we saw Fontenot. I mean, some of this, as I said to Carl yesterday in the 5 o'clock hour, some of this now, I'll take some of the, you want to spit some venom, I'll go that way to the front office. Because, you know, we've had some key pieces that are missing right now. And I will give him credit on the flip side of that argument. I don't think we ever appreciated how good Divine Diablo was going to be.
No.
We didn't know who he was, most Falcon fans.
Here's what's interesting, though, Mike. I mean, you talk about Troy Andersen. I do think Troy Andersen is Divine Diablo. But he's broke all the time.
Right.
He's not healthy. He runs just like Divine. He can cover. The reason why we drafted him was his versatility. He's big. I think he is that guy. The problem is Divine came in here and became like a staple of the middle part of this defense. And we said this. When you take his length out of this defense, guys, there are lanes and throwing lanes that quarterbacks are willing to attempt to try to throw in there. When a guy's got the length of Divine and the speed – Troy Andersen, too, when healthy. That's why he was so effective.
But he won you the game against the Saints last year at the Dome.
But it's such a small sample space.
Well, there's the deal. He's drafted in 22. This is his fourth year. He's a second-round pick, right?
Yeah.
So that's it. This is it for him for the franchise.
He's done.
Because he's played – now we're into year three. If he never gets back on the field this year, that's 9 games in 3 seasons.
Not enough.
That is a disaster.
Not enough.
Especially – you know me. Okay, I'll invoke it. Just a few picks later, it's Patino, the kid from Oklahoma that Denver picked up.
Yeah, and he's been a beast. He's already got a new deal.
Right. He got a big deal because you know why? He sacks the quarterback. Yeah. Impact player.
Yeah,
right now we're dealing with Jalen Walker. Now, I'm not comparing Jalen Walker to Troy Andersen, but Jalen Walker's not giving me anything right now when he's dealing with a soft tissue injury.
By the way, we'll get an injury update from Coach. I know many of you are going, what is the deal? Feels like everybody was out last week. So Jesse left the game early, Jesse Bates. There was no Drake. There was no Michael Penix. Mike just mentioned, Storm Norton. So we got a lot of guys, and this also includes – who am I missing, Mike? There was one other injury that affected us last week. But we've got about 5 or 6 guys. Who's that? Billy Bowman. Thank you.
That's why Billy Bowman loves to hit. Now, I know if you put A-Chain or any of the Dolphins running backs, that's the argument we had with our discussion we had with Dave, because I said to him, I go, if you got J.D., and we're going to ask Coach this, if you got J.D. Bertrand, who is giving up chunks of yardage after the catch.
You're going to keep killing this guy, aren't you?
Well, it's not his fault. Hey, it's like you want me to dunk a basketball? There's just things in life you can't do. He can't cover.
You can try, Mike. You can try.
Yes, I can try. Give me the stepladder or the cherry picker. I'll give you a nice photo. But I'm telling you, I mean, and I know he's got a lot of friends and family in this town. It's a local product. But it's just there's things right now he struggles in. Coach called him out, you know? So, well, then what's the solution? You wish Billy Bowman, because even though Billy Bowman would be giving up 40 pounds to a running back, he'll still hit him. and he'll still be able to track him down if it's a wide receiver coming through.
Yeah, he'll definitely bring the hat. All right, we're going to take a break. We are waiting on Coach. He could be here any minute. Stay there. We're going to come back. Raheem Morris is on the way. 3 o'clock hour straight ahead. Also, we will talk more about what's going on around the NFL. Lots of news, guys, including what Lamar said. What Lamar Jackson said.
Hi, Lacey.
And also we'll get to the Patriots making trades right before our matchup. Does it have anything to do with us or no? It's Dukes and Bell live at Flowery Branch.
Hi, I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, a board-certified OBGYN and menopause specialist. My new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it really takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Every week, I sit down with medical experts, cultural icons, and powerhouse women to talk about what really matters, your health, your power, and your future. We're covering hormones, identity, finances, relationships, and so much more. New episodes drop every Tuesday. Listen to and follow Unpaused with me, Dr. Mary Claire Haver, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
College football is off and running, and no one has the sport locked down quite like the Cover 3 Podcast, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network. Join me, Chip Patterson, along with Tom Fornelli, Danny Cannell, and Bud Elliott 5 days a week as we get you set for each weekend with breakdowns and best bets. Then recap all the action on Saturday night and tell you what you need to know about the rankings and more. Follow and listen to the Cover 3 Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.